Oh, guys, it's another issue of Hey Kids Comics. This is Andrew. Got Cole over there. We brought Bobby. What?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're there. Okay, Bobby, are you here?
I'm here.
Bobby's over there. We brought Bobby in on this one. Cole and I weren't really feeling very motivated to record tonight.
We need somebody to help goad us to.
Right. I just want to sit around and eat, maybe take a nap.
I'm not sure if I want to be on this show. It sounds depressing, and we just started.
Well, that's the point, Bobby. God, I can't even do a bit. I can't even do a bit around here.
You can still do your bit. I still don't understand why we're so depressed.
This is issue 5 of our story arc on the Seven Deadlies. This is issue 71. The whole beginning bit was the fact that we are doing another twofer tonight. That twofer is on Sloth?
Sloth and Gluttony.
Yeah, I know I'm on this show.
There
it's
you
on
go.
Sloth.
Sloth and Gluttony are the two sins we're going to be discussing tonight. Figured it was
and
a good
ironically, night. Sloth and Gluttony is also the name of my new Brazilian churrasqueiro.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's all you can eat, and you never have to leave the table because wandering bands of gauchos armed with skewers and giant machete will come and slice tender cuts of meat right onto your plate. And anything you want from our all-you-can-eat salad and starch bar is available to you at the snap of a finger.
You really thought this through.
He really went for it there. That is not sloth and or gluttony.
It could always be worse. This could be
a little gluttony.
It's a little gluttony.
It could be worse. This could have been the name of Roy's next show.
Oh.
I want that restaurant to be real.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Roy knows I love him. He'll get over himself.
So I
just want to be able to snap my finger. Bring me some lobster bisque.
Jesus.
What kind of accent was that?
Who cares?
What kind of accent for a person who craves lobster bisque?
Ah, good. Yes. You're a method actor. I forgot.
Say something.
So tonight we're going to do Sloth and Gluttony. We've already tore ass through the other sins. This is the end. This is a good night to do it.
5 out of 7 so far.
Right. This is a good night to do it because from Texas to Ohio, we are buried under ice and snow. Nobody's going anywhere. Everybody's settled in. Thanksgiving's over. We all ate too much, except Bobby, who ate like a thimble of salad and a lean cut of salmon. And then fought 15 like robotic Jean-Claude Van Damme's Van Dye.
It was a holiday. It was only 10.
Oh yeah, you let it go.
Oh, that's right.
And I was still recovering.
People were complaining about the robotic Jean-Claude Van Damme's that had to work on Thanksgiving.
That's right. There was a protest.
And I was still recovering from my Bangkok trip, so you know I had to take a slight break.
Right. where you took the floating rickshaw out to the island where you fought you fought the guy with the claw hand, right? And
oh,
freed
yes.
All those heroin slaves. That's right. I forgot. How could you forget? How could I forget
I
that?
Know.
So much in the vein of the other issues in this story arc, we are going to discuss how these two sins affect comic books and their various characters that they apply to. Cole, what you got? Start us off. I'm feeling very slothful and gluttonous. I don't want to start.
Okay. Well, this was a really tough one. I think we knew going in because we made it last, or you know, when the lineup was being worked out, that was one of the things was, you know, what do you do with these two? I know you hold off to the last possible second. That's what you do.
Do you know why? Because we're full of sloth. We don't want to start with this crap at the beginning.
I'm full of sloth because I have a non-traditional approach to Thanksgiving. And instead of turkey, I have delicious three-toed sloth.
That's fantastic, and not at all
really
endangered.
It's braised in a honey lemon sauce. Oh, sorry, I forgot. This is not Foodie Cast.
This is the Foodie Cast. We already did that issue.
Oh, that's right, we did.
Wait a minute, this isn't the Foodie Cast? I'm on the wrong show?
You're on the wrong show.
I thought we were going to talk about bacon.
Hummus. The entire issue is about hummus, in honor of Bobby being here.
That's how we lured Bobby in here, was with the promise of bacon.
Oh.
If you ever want Bobby to follow you down anywhere, just promise him bacon. He'll follow you into hell for bacon.
It's just rub your naked body in bacon grease.
Whoa!
And then slowly saunter the world.
Oh, my God.
And I will not be far behind.
It's like a James Blunt song.
But I got to thinking about, you know, where do you find gluttony and sloth in comics?
Right.
Because, you know, that's a tough one to tackle.
Scott
and
Kurtz.
I found, as I have with this entire arc, I found my answers in an unusual place.
Okay.
And in Marvel Comics.
Sure.
There is an enclave, if you will, of gluttony.
Okay, I'm listening.
And we're going to actually be able to see some of them cinematically in the near future. And I'm speaking of none other than those ancient, those antediluvian, those old enough to remember what dirt smelled like when it was new. The Elders of the Universe.
Okay, like Marvel the Celestials? Comics.
No, not the Celestials, the Elders of the Universe, which encompass...
I think he was very clear by what he said. He
All
said,
right, Bobby.
The universe.
This isn't the rage issue. This isn't wrath.
That's right.
Hey, I wasn't invited to that one.
And he's rageful about it.
He's going all seven on us tonight.
The folks like the Collector, the...
Okay.
The Gardener.
The Gardener. Oh, the ones that... The Infinity Gem holders.
Yes, the Elders of the Universe who were the beings who each of them... Just sort of like they all like reached into a big fishbowl full of words.
Yes.
And then that's what defined them forever.
They're like naming a club these days where you just pick a random noun or verb and you can just name anything that.
That's right. So, you know, a lot of them got saddled with really bad names, like the Contemplator.
He just sits around.
Yeah. But the reason I invoke them as kind of an embodiment of gluttony is each of them are so committed to their adverbs or their...
to their nom de guerre.
Yeah, that they become sort of like a glutton for collecting or a glutton for gaming.
They become an epoch for whatever they're
Yeah, look, I can see Grandmaster stabbing somebody at the Walmart for the last Xbox.
You gotta, if they're gonna have the balls to call themselves these stupid names, they've got to commit because, you know, what little respect you may have for them, you're not going to get it if you're not at least committing to the character.
It's
well,
true.
You know, especially because Champion of the Universe is the only one who got a decent name. It's sort of like being on Face Off and you're the last one to draw or something.
Well, yeah, but if you call yourself something like the Collector and you don't own anything, who's going to really buy into that?
That's true.
You know, in reality, nowadays they'd be calling him like the Hoarder.
Right.
But it's the same thing, you know. He's had a bunch of crap.
You don't get
full of crap.
You don't call yourself the Chummer and not go out in the ocean with a bunch of fish guts in a bucket. That's just not how it works.
But so is Robin a Chummer since Batman always called him Old Chum?
Robin's a Chummer for a whole nother reason, buddy.
that's not the word I would have gone with. But okay, that's cool. Whatever you kids.
I mean, he was certainly bait. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think
because he didn't put sunscreen on those legs. He just wore those pantyhose all the time.
Oh.
You know, kind of like how you chum the waters to attract the sharks.
So
put Robin out there to attract all the bad guys in.
I like that because like we talked about with Wrath, the Greed or Erebus, you know, they cross over, the sins cross. So you got a guy like the Collector who doesn't really leave his collection. But he wants to collect everything. So it really kind of crosses the Erebus / sloth realm or gluttony realm. Because he's
that's rather why I picked them, because they're also so committed that they don't do anything else.
Well, I want to see that meeting where they try to convince these henchmen look, I'm the collector, but I'm not going to actually collect anything. You're going to go get it. I'm going to sit here. And how do you convince?
Are you suggesting they outsource?
Exactly. Like, commit it. Like, how do you convince all these hits? And this goes for pretty much any villain, whether the subjects are today or anything else. They always have all these henchmen, and I really want to see how they get these people to work for them. Because, you know, by the time they've gone to get their henchmen, they've already got a track record of getting their ass kicked all the time.
Right.
So it's like, how do you convince them that I'm the collector or I'm the filer? And they're like, you know what? I think this guy might be the one.
I think in the collector's case, though, he collects henchmen.
But here's the thing about the collector or somebody like that versus, let's say, the Hood from Marvel or, you know, a Dr. Octopus or, you know, a Lex Luthor. You know, when they come to Lex Luthor or they come to the Hood or they come to, you know, a Kingpin or somebody like that and they say, why should I work for you? I've got all these options. Why should I work for you? They're going to be like, because I'll pay you a shitload of money.
But that's the difference between someone like a Lex and a Kingpin, because they obviously already have the money.
Right.
Take somebody like...
That's what's awesome about the collector. Like,
take somebody like the collector. What's he going to give you? One of his collections? No, but he's the collector. He's not the giver.
Right.
He's not giving the crap away. You know?
So he's like, well, why should I work for you? Look at my collection. Great.
And he's not making any money because everything he takes, he's keeping for himself.
That's right.
So
he's not the seller.
He doesn't have an eBay account.
Man.
He's not like he's getting anything and then giving it away or selling it and hope to pick up a million. He's still living like a shanty under 635 with his little collection because he doesn't make any money.
The collector lives in a shanty.
This just became the best conversation.
I know. I had no idea it could go this way. I will point out, though, that it does occur to me that two of the Elders of the Universe actually collaborated some years back.
There was a collab?
That's probably the only way they can get anything done.
The collector and the Grandmaster actually joined forces and created Pokemon.
Well played. I'm gonna give you that. I'm gonna let that sit. I'm not even gonna
get points for that one.
I'm not even gonna do anything with that one. You know, you obviously, here's my thing, and I know we're going in early. We're going straight for it. For me, the biggest slothful characters, and I'm going to catch some backlash for this.
Not to be confused with the character from Image Comics.
Oh, here we go. I'm going to catch some serious backlash for this. All right? But I'm all right with that. I'm okay with that. And I'm going to start with this. I'm going to start it innocuously enough, and I'm sure that it's all going to go downhill from here. Are the psychic characters. The ones that don't have to do anything besides use the power of their mind. And they're never, with the exception of very few, are never depicted as fat or slovenly or, you know what I mean?
Nope, they always have a stupid head apparatus.
Well, immediately jumps to mind is Hector Hammond.
Yeah, he's got that big stupid head for no apparent reason.
MODOK.
It's like... Yeah. Anybody, here's my issue, is you get some
brainwave.
These brain abilities and psychic powers and stuff, they can pretty much, they should in fact be the most powerful characters to control people or make people do what they want or whatever the case is, yet they always end up being the laziest, they're useless, and they get way too damn close to anything for no apparent reason. It's like they get right in front of you so you can reach out and hit them, and they're going to use their powers like, go across the damn street. So he can't reach you.
What are you wearing that head apparatus for if it isn't to amplify your power?
Yeah, you're supposed to be so smart, and you have all these psychic abilities, but you're not smart enough and foresee the future or whatever the case is to move three steps back so he can't punch you in the face.
Use your psychic abilities to figure out where he lives and zap him in his sleep or something.
Right,
you know?
just pop a, you know, squeeze off an artery in his brain and just... And he's done. That's it.
That's an issue across every villain, no matter what category you put them in, is it's that need for them to set everything up and show you what they're
Hubris.
About to do.
Yeah.
A real a real villain in real life is going to show up to your house while the guy's asleep, do the investigation, figure out who he is, slit his throat, move on with his life.
Yeah, but the problem is with villains, you get this sort of Batman's Rogues Gallery or Flash's Rogues Gallery sort of thing going on, where it really, when you get right down to it, the superhero, supervillain dynamic, especially when they're connected, like, you know, Joker almost never goes after anybody but Batman, because it gets very Brokeback Mountain. It's like, I can't quit you.
Well, they even went through that with that last, I don't know if any one of you have been reading it, but that the with the new Batman stuff and the death of the family stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, because DC doesn't send us free comics.
Oh, well, that whole thing, thank you. That whole thing was actually addressed directly when he was talking about, you know, he had tortured Batman, you know, all the other, you know, Robin and the Red Hood and all them to the point to where driving Batman to the point of almost killing him, but then tells Batman, you're not going to kill me because you need me. We're best friends.
Right. This is how Batman's close, like, no, I can get to you. At all times.
Like, there's like these very weird, you know,
psychosexual relationship, yeah.
I look more like homoerotic relationships between these people that, you know, they're in tights, they're in...
I always looked at it more as like the Jay and Silent Bob hetero life partner.
I don't know, man. They like to rumble around with their tights and their and a lot of the physical activity and some...
Yeah, but if anybody's looking, it's like, I hate men, I love women!
It's true.
And the weird masochistic moments they have together.
Listen, here, I'm gonna... I really want to throw Professor X under the bus.
He's a jerk.
But I'm pretty sure that's already happened.
Wow. He is a bus.
I just feel like... I feel like there's something there where he could do more with his powers.
He is the equivalent of a supervillain, but being a good guy. He stands back, lets everybody else... He doesn't do shit, and somehow he's in charge.
Right.
Talk about outsourcing.
Like, couldn't he figure out some way to walk? Like, he employs...
Well, every time he seems to find a way to walk in the damn comics, he suddenly loses the ability again.
But, like, doesn't he employ Forge and, like, all the Beast and all these super...
Forge made himself a fake-ass leg. Why can't he do something for Professor X?
Right!
Because Professor X is a douchebag, and they don't... They're all like, screw you, jerk. Sit in your chair and shut up.
They
don't want him on missions. What has he ever done on a mission to help them other than sit in the back? He puts his uniform on.
He has sex with aliens. That's what he does. He goes out, he rides around in the Blackbird, and then he bangs some aliens.
His only usefulness in any time he's on an away mission, you know, he puts his uniform on and sits in a wheelchair because that's going to happen. And then he floats around out there, you know, and he connects their minds so they can talk via the ring. They're standing next to each other. Wolverine does not need to talk to Storm in his brain when they're standing next to each other. They're right there.
In addition to not inventing legs, no one had invented the little Bluetooth yet, so they couldn't like talk to each other like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So he was just doing it psychically.
Yeah, but you're telling me they can't come up with use some walkie-talkies? It's like there's of all the technology they didn't have, yet his wheelchair is hovering around. Come on, man.
Yeah, the Shi'ar were a little stingy with the tech, you know. It's like, your girlfriend gave you a high-tech wheelchair. How about something for us?
I've always been anti-Professor X. Forget that guy.
I don't know. I feel like he's constantly validating himself.
Here's my theory. I don't think he's crippled. I think he's lazy.
Oh, gosh.
I think he uses this crippledness to try to think this is some way to push them to need the ability to protect him.
So I think this is like a Guy Caballero syndrome.
I think when they leave the room...
Need the wheelchair. It's just for sympathy.
I think when they're not there, when he sends them on all these missions, not because there's crap to do, because he gets them out of the house, and then he gets up and he goes and jogs, and he plays some basketball, and he does all kinds of stuff with his legs, sees him coming back, and
he gets
to the chair. And he jumps back in the chair and he's like sweating and they're like, are you okay? Are you sick? And no, he was playing basketball for 3 hours. I'm telling you, I don't trust him.
I mean, the alopecia wasn't enough, so he has to fake having bad legs.
This just got so good. I don't know.
I don't trust the guy. I've never trusted that guy.
I really think he's constantly validating himself. Like, where's oh, you need me. You need me. You need me to connect you all through your brains so that you can talk. Really? We do? Because there's 18 other psychics now in
the
X-Men.
Well, he spends all this time in that big in this room with his big helmet looking for kids. I mean,
that's true. I mean, that's like, creepy.
I need to find special kids to come to my school that I've named after myself because that doesn't look shady. But I'm never going to explain where I've gotten all this money to open a school and have custom-made wheelchairs and spaceships.
Bobby is on fire tonight.
because you know, that doesn't point out I'm up to something shady, that I have a jet underneath a school.
Bobby is on fire tonight.
Yes, indeed. Straight. I have to point out, though, that it occurred to me, speaking of, like, lazy psychics, is the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Okay.
The modern version, they've got Destiny, who I think the chick is either, like, legally blind or, like, completely just, you know, can't see a thing, and I guess she just uses her psychic abilities to know where to step.
Get glasses! Lazy bitch.
And nobody's given her Shi'ar technology, no Geordi LaForge eyes or anything like that.
Well, as Andrew mentioned earlier, Xavier is a whore. He sleeps with everybody, which boggles the mind. If he's crippled, how the hell is he functioning?
I think
it happens, but come on, man. He's been in that world.
Also, you know, the thing is with Destiny is she does absolutely nothing for the group, yet she gets a full cut.
That's true. That's true.
And she can't connect their minds. She can't, like, get the Shi'ar to give her tech or, you know, sleep with hot Scottish women or anything like that. That, you know, all she does is occasionally predict the future for them.
Oh, is that all?
And that's it. And she gets, like, a full cut.
So, though, she can predict the future and tell you what's going to happen. What's Xavier doing? Collecting more kids.
Speaking of kids.
She probably predicts she's going to collect more kids. Like, that's a big... Blob could have done that one.
Speaking of kids.
Excuse me.
You know who's lazy? Billy Bastion is lazy. And here's why. Because this jackass kid just follows around the Justice League or Justice Society or whatever Justice whatever he's going to be a part of. And all he does is say Shazam. That's his entire job. Like
I don't fault him because that grandfather of his in the Winnebago is basically living off of his superpowers, traveling around the city with this kid. You know, it's kind of creepy relationship anyway. It's a very Ben 10 grandpa, whatever the hell that thing's going on with that either.
And whenever he wants to play superhero, he drops trowel and he's got his little Shazam suit underneath.
I don't even understand what just happened.
Either. I don't know what that means.
Wasn't there like the Batson uncle who would run around with a Shazam suit under his clothes like Superman, and there would be coverage of him like stripping down to the long johns yelling Shazam?
I don't think we read those versions like you did.
Well, they were produced in the 1920s or something like that.
Well, that was in your childhood, right?
Wow.
The beginning of my childhood.
Wow.
Is that during the Nesquik Bunny years of Shazam?
Oh. You're talking about Hoppy the Marvel Bunny.
That's so funny. So the only other one I have right now before we unleash Cole into the world of Watchmen, which is about to happen. No, it's good. This one's good. Trust
I love
me.
That you have to quantify that. No, this one's good.
I brought it on myself.
Usually it's not a good thing if I start invoking Watchmen, but this one I'm getting... This was actually sanctioned.
Yeah, I've sanctioned this.
That means things are going horribly wrong in the world.
Mine is Barry Allen, or any of the Flashes, and here's why. I'm not saying they don't do a lot.
They run.
But what I am saying is they could do more. I'm saying basic, that if you're the fastest basic. Guy and you can run through time, there's more you can do.
Look, you have to. There's something to be said for a guy whose basic power is to flee.
Right. Is to run at something really fast and then run away from it just as fast.
Yeah it's
or
like...
faster.
You know what? Aquaman gets a lot of crap.
Yes, he does.
But at least he can control fish. He's got an underwater kingdom. He's got armies.
He's strong.
He just runs.
Right.
And no one
holds a bulldozer scoop.
Are we falling back on the Aquaman held a bulldozer scoop again?
Every chance I get.
I know you do.
Aquaman is awesome. I don't care what anybody says.
We all agree. We're all in concord that Aquaman is awesome. All right, Cole. We're going to release you onto the Watchmen. Make it so.
As we start to move from sloth into gluttony and sloth, and we'll talk a little bit more about gluttony, especially in a bit. These were tough sins to attach to Watchmen, because by and large, there's not just a whole lot of gluttony going on in the sense of just, you know, if you're rich, you're a gourmand. If you're poor, you're a glutton.
Right.
But there's not this whole hairy heck of chowing down going on. You know, Dan and Laurie go to Gunga Diner and they dine at the fine rooftop restaurant. Ozymandias has his vegetable. He has his succotash dinner there before he kicks some ass there in Antarctica. You've got, you know, very little eating going on. But there are some examples of gluttony nonetheless.
Unless you're talking about the two that have a relationship, but that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, that was last issue. Or two issues ago.
But the thing about it is you've got... if you want to take the idea of glutton for punishment,
yes,
then there is a conversation regarding a certain Captain Carnage.
Okay.
In the previously unwritten past, who was basically a bit of a masochist, who ran around trying to get himself beaten up by playing supervillain. Right. And he literally was just, you know, so hungry for a beating.
Right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he would go around and commit crimes. And, I think Night Owl, Silk Spectre, and Rorschach had all encountered him. Because Laurie talks about knowing what his shtick was and just ignoring him. And or Dan did, one of the two. And he's running down the street yelling, "Punish me, punish me!"
Right.
And... then Rorschach apparently winds up throwing him down an elevator shaft.
Because Rorschach doesn't give a F about anybody's shtick.
I'll punish you.
Right. I'll punish you to
that
death.
That idea right out of you. So, gluttony is a tough one. Sloth, equally slow. So I think you can pin a lot of sloth on Dan in that, you know, he just sort of slowed to a crawl as soon as they were retired. He'd go down, you know, pick up his... owl orang and put it back down again, go back upstairs and
slide his hand across the dust on the Arctic owl suit.
That's right. Go and touch the owl suit, then go back upstairs and pin a new article for the Journal of Ornithological Studies, you know, the pinion or whatever their journal was called.
It's called on the nose
pinion.
It's called On the Nose Magazine.
It's like, what's your opinion on birds? But, I think there's a certain degree of sloth there because you can look. We talked last time about him, his pride.
Right.
And trying to, like, just not only one up, but like 150 up the whole Night Owl legacy.
Yes.
Because he had the dough and the tech to do it. But also you look at the fact that, you know, once the party's over, it's all just sitting there collecting dust. But you can look at the fact, what's implicit there is that all he ever did was go out and fight crime and then go home and build more shit.
Right.
He's got an owl car and he's got little owl hover boards and he's got his owl exoskeletal armor that didn't quite work out, his plan. He's got an owl copter hanging from the ceiling, for God's sake. I mean, only Batman has more junk laying around the rumpus room.
Yeah, but Batman's are trophies.
Yeah, but Batman also seems to keep a bunch of kids around, so he has to have something for them to do.
That's true. That's right. Old guys and kids and snaggletooth.
There's a lot of very strange, not to interrupt your Watchmen conversation, but... There seems to be a lot of, you know,
there is a lot of kid collecting.
It's always the good guys that seem to be gathering the kids. Nobody seems to want to point that out.
I think Bobby's been sitting on a lot that he needs to let out.
We're worried a lot about these villains robbing banks and trying to kill the superheroes, but we're not so much concerned about Batman always taking in these weird kids and Professor X trying to take in kids. And there's a lot of really weird kid things going on.
And the kids getting out on their own and Teen Titaning it up.
Yeah, and Gen 13-ing it up. And
I think Bobby's been sitting on a lot that he needs to let out. I think that
this is
therapeutic.
This is very therapeutic for him.
You have no idea.
You know, sloth and gluttony were very hard to touch upon, but we did. I did intend that we tie everything to poor Dan Dreiberg.
You did, and you've done that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's perhaps a little bit of gluttony there as well, because he certainly created a glut of owl things.
That's true.
It's like all he was doing is sitting around, he's driving around his owl ship, and all of a sudden it occurs to him, owl cycle. Owl cycle. Turns the damn thing around and goes back, and, you know.
Which is why they're not accomplishing anything.
He stops by the Suzuki dealership and
he buys a bike and then takes it over West Coast Customs. Hey, exactly. I got this new idea, Ryan. Can you like draw this up for me?
Well, because he's Night Owl, and after what we've talked about, he encompasses all these sins so greatly that he wouldn't let West Coast Choppers touch his bike.
No, he would do it himself.
He would do it himself, and yet the greed and the pride. It would not allow him to let anyone else touch his precious bike that he just bought 5 seconds ago.
Okay, of all these heroes, Batman, Night Owl, all these guys, where do they find the time to not only build these things, fight crime?
You
know,
Bobby,
but also,
if you listen to the show.
But also learn how to do all this stuff.
Now, the thing that is, Bobby, if you listen to this show, you would know that Batman has a Snaggletooth Hunchback for that.
That's right.
I get on some of them, but it's like, you know what? It seems like every superhero or villain or whatever, as intelligent as these people are, you think they could actually do something for the world instead of spending all their time fighting crime or causing crime. They're really not doing anything for anybody, yet they're creating some of the most advanced technology.
But isn't that the definition of both sloth and gluttony? You know, by definition, you have the ability to cure hunger. You have the ability to cure disease or boost the economy to a level at which, you know, when you got the Illuminati, right, with Marvel, where you've got the five smartest or most powerful guys in the Marvel universe sitting around a table around each other, and they're like, well, we got to do something about the Hulk. No, you got to do something about AIDS. Why don't you do something about AIDS?
You've got to do something about the encroachment of the desert onto the world.
Right.
At an alarming rate of the rising.
Teaching some of these people, like, you know, with those guys that either geniuses, but Batman's not a genius. You know, Night Owl is not a genius. They had to tinker and learn. Just get whoever's teaching them this crap. Let that guy or girl, whoever it is, solve these problems while they're fighting crime. Because clearly someone's passing this knowledge onto them, and the person's a genius.
Bobby, it's called YouTube.
They don't have the time for YouTube.
They just watch YouTube videos on how to zen in the art of motorcycle repair.
That's right.
I see Batman's got his own YouTube channel teaching people how to make batarangs. And
he learned how to make batarangs from somebody else's YouTube channel and just adapted it.
This edition of my BatTube channel, we're going to teach you.
He sent him an email. He's like, is there any way that boomerang thing would work if it was had scalloped edges like a kind of like roughly pterodactyl shaped wing?
Like a
said pterodactyls, it
like
would
a,
be obvious.
Like a manta ray. Nothing like a bat.
I see him with
nothing
having,
at all like a bat.
Having more of like a YouPorn channel, teaching them how to get young boys in tight.
Oh, no.
Oh, there you go.
Indestructibles.
Again. So I did want to point out, you bring up the Illuminati and such, and it does sort of open an old wound for me from back in the days before.
You're not allowed to talk, Bobby. We've let you go. You've had things to say. All right, go ahead, Cole.
This is what Andrew has to put up with every show, so shut up. You only have to put up with it once in a while.
What do you mean? I get emails from you daily.
That's true.
Yeah, they have nothing to do with this.
They have nothing to do with anything.
You naughty boy.
That's kind of valid. But,
I'm sorry, continue with your very important moment.
But back in the day, when they in the days of the graphic novel, there was the death of Captain Marvel, who's Mar-Vell, the Kree, who had contracted cancer.
Right.
And a good part of the story is literally pre-Illuminati. You had all these big brains like Reed Richards and Tony Stark and everybody. And part of the subplot was them all trying to last-minute cure cancer so they could save Mar-Vell. And two things were wrong with that. Number one, he's not human. He's Kree.
Right.
So, you know, even if you cure his cancer, it's not going to help anybody else unless they happen to be Kree as well. So good news for Ronan the Accuser if he happens to get contract cancer. But it really doesn't help the rest of us. And number two, as soon as Marvel kicks it, as soon as he's cold on the slab, it's like, eh, pff, cancer. I got to go build some armor. You know, it's like all this imperative only lasted so long as one of their own needed them.
Well, have they ever actually done, forgive me, because I didn't read a lot of them, the early stuff, but have they ever actually done anything like that with any of the characters, you know, with Reed Richards and them that have, like, you know, before they head off on a mission, they're like working on a cure for something that's like real?
Well, how long?
You know what I'm saying? Like, say, like, cure for cancer or AIDS, like, to work that into, like, a story and say, well, I don't know if I can go on this mission. This cure for AIDS is a lot more important, but I guess I'll have to put it off. And
well, here's how long did it take them to cure the lizard? Like, they would just be like, oh, well, that bank's getting robbed. We were working on the cure for the lizard. It was me, and it was, it was Peter, it was Reed, it was Hank Pym. But we've got to go stop this bank from being robbed now. In the meantime, Doc Connors turns back into the lizard, kills seven dudes. Like, guys.
And
the thing about it is, they're trying to cure the lizard. That's one guy.
Right.
I mean, it's not like there were 150,000 people worldwide who turned into a freaking lizard.
But they're trying to make sure that didn't happen.
There wasn't a foundation. There weren't lizard runs in your area to raise money and awareness. You know, nobody was wearing green ribbons. Yet they go out of their way to cure the lizard.
But you know what? If they did wear those ribbons, that cure would have happened.
That's true. It would have happened sooner.
People weren't taking it serious.
What about, I'm going to fall back on some Asgardians here. Volstagg.
Volstagg's a gimme.
The most gluttonous of all characters.
I mean, I will grant you that every time anybody makes a collectible of the blob, he always has either a ham hock or a turkey leg in his hand.
Right.
That's like almost offensive because they seem to do that with, like, when they made the clown from Spawn figure, he came with a chicken leg.
Oh, that's right.
That's another good one.
I can see the toy people now. They're like, fat character, give him some food.
Exactly. That's exactly. How you know the character's
that's
gluttonous.
My complaint. It's like you see Volstagg. He's always got a ham hock or a turkey leg as well. And the thing about it is, I think the real issue here is that they're trying to illustrate that these characters, it's not that they're girls. Earth. It's not their weight problems, or, you know, whether it be glandular, or, you know, whether it be genetics or just the fact that they can't stop chowing down. I think it just illustrates their fondness for Renaissance festivals and state fairs.
But see, here's the problem: is I wouldn't have a problem with that if that was you know, like,
that was true.
If that was across the board for all the characters, you know, the fat guys came with food, but you don't have, like, Tony Stark coming with a bottle of whiskey. You know,
but that's another thing about gluttony, right? I mean, that's Tony Stark was definitely gluttonous. It just wasn't food. It was.
No, but I'm talking about just in general. It's like there's this whole thing with these characters that they all have their issues, but for some reason, okay, you put out a Tony Stark Iron Man figure, he comes out with 35 blasters or laser bolts that shoot out of his hands. You put out a Volstagg, he comes with a chicken leg.
That's true. That's valid.
Or a whole chicken.
Yeah, our whole chicken. It makes no sense.
Yeah, you get a Deadpool figure. He's got got nunchucks. You get a blob figure, he's got a couple of salamis, or, you know, big string of sausage.
Salamis.
You get a North Star figure, and it comes with, like, some Vaseline.
Oh.
Now.
Wow.
Uses Astroglide.
Listen, he's an elf from the elf world now. We got to respect that.
This is a new...
We live in a different time now.
Oh, yeah. Good Lord.
He's an elf from the elf world.
He wasn't gay. He was just an elf.
That's what they did. That's
wow.
What they did.
Elfie and JoJo from Munchkinland.
Is that how they're explaining Shatterstar as well? Because
Shatterstar is straight up.
He's just gay, but it's okay that he's from Mojo Land or whatever the hell he's from.
Shatterstar is the Captain Jack Harkness of the Marvel Universe.
Are we going to ever get him and Longshot to hook up?
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry, you like Captain Mullet.
I love me some Longshot, buddy.
I bet you do.
I got a name for you. I'm going to throw it out there in the gluttony, because we kind of covered Sloth. I'm digging for some gluttonous characters at this point. What about, you got a couple characters that kind of fall into the same vein, okay? What about guys like Parasite or Amazo or Mimic?
Oh.
Guys that absorb.
Mimic has some big-ass feet.
Wait, it's only because he absorbed beast feet.
Non-linear show, guys. It's just awesome.
As an artist who has issues with bare feet, drawing bare feet, the only reason I haven't drawn Mimic is because those feet are a pain in my ass, and they're
Mimic
half
of
some body.
Big-ass feet.
They're big-ass feet. They're ridiculous.
If we had titles to these shows, the title to this show would be Mimic Got Some Big-Ass Feet.
Mimic Got Some Big-Ass Feet.
I'm sorry. I don't get to talk about his feet too many feet.
And he heard it up. Mimic and immediately was like, I finally have my opportunity.
I think it's ironic, though, that what bothers me in comics is that everybody was trying to cure cancer as long as it mattered to them, right. And then no more. What bothers Bobby is Mimic's big-ass feet.
Look, his big-ass feet has bothered me since the first time I saw his picture in, like, the Who's Who Marvel collection. Because I used to use those to draw, and I'm like, what is wrong with this guy's feet? And those badass glasses. This guy's just got...
Dude, his glasses were the shiz. Wear those glasses.
I understand why he was angry. He couldn't have had any...
He bought the glasses at Elton John's garage sale.
Right.
Looked like he bought them from Mole Man.
He probably bought them from the joint Mole Man Elton John collection at Target.
The same tailor.
Right. But you know what I mean? You got these characters and their whole thing, like Amazo's whole thing is, I want to absorb the powers of everybody I come in contact with. That is straight up gluttony. I don't care what you say.
Absolutely, yeah. There is like the collector. He's just not. There's enough is never enough. And
right, Mimic is sort of more selective, but the same idea.
He just looks for shoes.
Here's one. As long as this is the vein we're in, Brainiac.
Ah,
just absorbing information, absorbing cultures, absorbing whatever. Sort of like the collector, after a fashion, you know.
Yeah, I think
just dead room. That's what that was.
Yeah. It was a long shot, and not the mullet kind.
No, but I like it. I'm going with it. All right, I can find Sloth and Gluttony in any character. You can challenge me. Give me any character.
Well, here's one for you. This is a introduced in Captain America. He's fought Spider-Man and others. One of the least likely characters to have had some sort of lengthy history in comics is none other than Ulysses X. Lugman,
aka
the Slug.
Oh yeah,
it's just sad that you know what, I don't know what's sadder, that Cole knew the guy's name or that you jumped out the Slug.
he's the fact.
I actually had to look it up, and I thought
but Andrew didn't. He's just like the Slug.
I thought I'd punch it up a little bit by knowing his name, or seeming
listen,
to know his name.
Listen,
in fact, you were excited that you knew it, made it even worse.
He's the fat kingpin.
Oh, Lord,
he dressed like the fat kingpin, like, yeah, you know, the kingpin like always is supposed to be like all muscle, you know, he looks fat but he's all muscle. The Slug just is fat.
Yeah. Well, he's supposed to be like 1200 pounds. He's like Fat Bastard in Austin Powers,
right?
And apparently he's even gone so far as like to suffocate people in his, you know, like pressing them against his.
Now, see, that's ingenious. That's somebody putting their power to work.
Defending this form of murder.
Right? No, well, it is. Like, if you got it.
About earlier, about these people that have these abilities and these things they do, and they do nothing. That's a guy who's saying, you know what? I'm a fat ass. I'm going to smother you.
I'm going to make it work for me.
Yeah, and I guarantee his figure would come with food and probably a person's head sticking out of like his rib cage.
I just want to see some legs sticking out of a roll.
You could interchange them under the folds. Like they'd have like a rubber fold that you could just lift up and you could stick body parts underneath it. Or like a remote control.
It's a
build-a-figure.
It's a build-a-figure with a sixth piece.
You know he's the one that you're sitting next to and he said, I found a remote control.
Right.
Or a grilled cheese.
Bobby, if you ever want to do some non-commissioned art for me, just saying, if a slug ever shows up.
As if I've ever done commissioned art for you.
I keep trying, and you won't let me, so shut up. I don't know, like Silver Surfer, maybe a little slothful, just doesn't do a lot of walking on his own.
Yeah.
Flies around on his cosmic segue.
I'm going to defend him just for a moment.
You can defend whatever you want.
Not that it's really a relevant defense, but, you know, most of the time he is flying around in space. So
it's true.
When he gets into Earth, he's not staying long, and every time he seems to come in, people try to hit him.
That's true.
He's got to keep moving, and he's naked, so he's going to get arrested if he stops off that thing and stays in one spot.
That's true.
You know, and he's probably he's a reflective surface, so he's going to cause accidents and anything else.
Thought into this. I like it.
I'm impressed.
He's got to just keep it moving at all times. Nothing to see here kind of mentality.
Right. Just boom, flies into New York one side to the other.
He's one of those that I wouldn't know if consider. I don't know if I'd consider him within the gluttonous list because, you know, he's flying around kind of when he's one of the heralds of Galactus, who is very gluttonous. But he's flying around kind of under his control, and then he's also tormented about his death of his planet and whatever the nonsense that he deals with. You know, I don't think he knows where the hell he's at half the time. I think he's just I think he's trying to find his next wave and he don't know what the hell's going on.
He's the Matthew McConaughey of the Marvel Universe. That was a good call on Galactus, by the way, Bobby. That was a really good call. Very gluttonous.
You like that segue?
I did like that segue. I like that segue more than the cosmic segue that Silver Surfer flies around on.
Another big ass head apparatus.
That's true. There is a linear connection between gluttonous characters and giant head apparatus.
It does not even serve a purpose.
It's just Kirby.
Big ass Pope hat.
It's just called the Kirby. It's just Gar Kirby. Just blew up on it.
It's just a Pope hat that he added some accessories to. He blinged it out.
Cole.
Oh yeah.
You got any final thoughts on this? We're coming against it.
I think we need to point out that Catherine brought up a character that needs some coverage.
Okay.
You know, we do often just sort of concentrate on the superheroes, except when I equated Archie with Lust.
Which was awesome.
She brought up Man-Eating Cow from the Tick series.
Nice.
And, yeah, that's one you really you don't want to pass up because, you know, that's just a glutton for human flesh there going on.
That's nice. That's good. Bobby, do you have any finals?
You know what? I'm gonna bring up Grunge from Gen 13.
Of course you are.
Who, you know, he's all about himself and what he can do and trying to hit on whatever her name is, the chick with the purple hair.
Fairchild? No, the other one. Okay.
No, I don't know the kid's name, people's name. I'm not
Somebody
Rick.
Somebody call the Goot. He'll know.
Not Rick. I don't know these people's names. Right. But, you know, I think he falls, at least remember that team kind of falls in that realm just because he's very self-absorbed and always, you know, trying to figure out what he can get out of the next thing. Plus, he absorbs crap to turn into it and, you know.
That's true.
And I really just wanted to bring Gen 13 up just for the hell of it for no apparent reason.
Cole, just one more time because we're right. We're just tell me about your favorite gluttonous character just once. Just we'll wrap the show with this.
Oh, my favorite gluttonous character.
The one that comes from the far-flung future, might hang out with some other superheroes, maybe in a legion.
Oh, of course, our poster boy for this episode.
That's right.
who by his very nature, I mean, you know, it's sort of like Jules Winfield in Pulp Fiction. What's a brother to do? He's Samoan. What's a brother to do? He's from Bismuth. Yes, none other than, sorry to be so long there getting in on your setup, but yes, none other than Matter Eater Lad.
Oh, there it is.
Yes, indeed. Our flavor art for this episode, Matter Eater Lad. With apologies to Steve for, again, referring to him solely as Matter Eater Lad. Don't apologize to Steve.
I think you should apologize to everybody for just the way you said that over and over.
No, that's the way it has to be said.
that's the official way that it's said on this show.
I'm pretty positive that there's a story there that I don't want to know.
So, yes, Matter Eater Lad, the character that gains all of it, that has no power besides being able to eat through anything.
And once
there
again,
was one where he like literally ate his way out of a prison cell.
Right.
I think Mordu had him imprisoned and wasn't thinking about the fact that he could just sort of tunnel his way out one delicious bite at a time.
God bless Matter Eater Lad.
At least it's another person using their powers for something.
Right.
That's true. Because the thing about it is with Matter Eater Lad is that he's the only character I know of whose utility belt is actually a spice rack.
I love that joke. I love that joke a lot. It makes me laugh.
He just like, oh, a little garlic would be good with these, the fuselage of this ship.
And finally, a character that's figure would come with food that makes sense.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Matter Eater Lad would come with both a ham hock and a girder.
Exactly. And bites out of the actual packaging, which would be brilliant.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to wrap her up. Bobby, thank you for joining us again on short notice, as we always do to you. You came through. He's really the Nolan Ryan of Hey Kids Comics. Wow, sports reference that makes sense.
On this show?
On this show.
And Bobby is actually a glutton for last-minute inclusion.
I'm glutton for a lot of things.
We just call him and yell at him until he gets on gets on a mic somewhere.
I do want to apologize here on the show for when we called Bobby up, like, I call him on the phone. Like, he's like, "Hey, what's going on?" I said, "We're doing a show. Shut up. Get on Skype." And I'm like, "Would you like to be on the show? We're recording." Hey, kids. Shut up. Get on your Skype.
If it makes you feel any better, when I was on the phone, I was in the living room watching with my wife, and I said, "I'm going to have to go." She goes, "Oh, what happened?" I said, "Cole called and said to shut up and get on the phone," and she's like, "Okay, have fun."
That's it. So we've wrapped up another story arc. Bobby joined us, the only guest on the story arc.
I just feel like Professor X, you know, come to me, my X-Men.
It's just like, oh, God, he's calling me again.
And you were sitting down when you did it, too.
I was. Rolling around in a rolly chair.
I was actually in a rolling chair, and I actually had a blanket around my legs because it's so damn cold.
That dude is a lazy ass.
That's right. Maybe you should. You wouldn't be so cold if you stopped shaving your head, Cole.
True.
Whoa.
So we made it through another story arc. This was a good one. Thank you, Cole, and thank you, Bobby, for your.
This has been a favorite arc. I am dearly going to miss this. Oh, it's like coming home after vacation. I just had to get back to work.
We'll have to kick ourselves in the ass with another story arc down the line that just is a giant pain. I'm sure we have those. Bobby, what do you have to plug? Plug it.
Besides my wife.
Merp.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. Don Rickles?
Well, I haven't been updating my site lately, but if you want to look at it, there's 6 years worth of web strips there. It's laststopcomic.com, and I do my normal reviews at theexaminer.com. And I'm being held captive to be able to do Cole's cartoons over at the JCU Universe. You are here, cartoons, and if you don't like them, it's because Cole wrote them. If you do like them, it's because of my art. So check them out. And other than that, most of my appearances I make at my house.
There you go. Bobby's an awesome reviewer, and I'm going to start basically just stealing his reviews and relinking them, reblogging them through our Facebook page. Because we have very little content on there, and Bobby does an awesome job with comic book reviews.
You feel free to take whatever you need.
Cole, you got your plugs. Make it happen.
Oh yeah, naturally, of course, the aforementioned Jedi Cole universe, where you can find Bobby's incredible work, unless you hate it, in which case it's all my fault, apparently.
Exactly.
in the JCU Sunday Funnies, our weekly comics that Bobby is just a cartooning machine. We have weekly comics all the way up through mid-March now. If you want to see what I just got today, you're going to have to wait a while because we got a bunch of them lined up. Of course,
or you can call me and I'll give them all to you right now.
That's right. I'll just email them to you. I don't care.
We'll leak them. For a small fee, you can wait and see them for free for Cole. For a small fee, I will send them all to you today.
Is this like not available on Netflix for 3 weeks? Is it? You can go buy
like
it,
you
or
can
you can
pay extra to see World War Z like
that's right.
3 days early. But then, of course, that's at the Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com, where you can find this show, where you can find Catherine's movie review show that Bobby is on.
Oh, and yes.
They do an amazing job. A lot of people are tuning that in every time we get a new one out called What'd You Think? You can, of course, if you're keen on conventions, which we are here at the JCU, go to Convention Awareness Project at conventionawarenesstx.blogspot.org. If you check there in the next few days, I will have the 2014 listings starting to show up.
Nice.
And speaking of 2014 conventions, you will be able to see myself, Catherine, Andrew, Bobby, pretty much anyone, almost anyone you've ever heard on this show.
Or any other show ever. Or
any other show at AllCon.
Oh, yeah.
2014 coming up. We are going to have a huge show there. If you go, be sure to attend the Jedi Cole Universe Live. I believe it's going to be on either Friday or Saturday of the show. And we will have a very special moment for the Hey Kids Comics portion of that show.
Of course we will.
We have a very special tribute to some comic book characters we lost a few years ago.
That's true. Not to mention the fact that I promise you my pants stay on this time. I don't want to have to miss another year.
Bobby,
I will not make that promise.
Bobby and I are going to have exhibition passive aggressive staring match also at AllCon. So just so
yes.
You know.
And I'm limber.
We're just going to sit across from each other and pretend like we're not looking at each other and staring daggers, but when we actually are. It's going to be great. Could last a while. So just be ready for that.
I have a weird twitchy eye. So
I got a weird twitchy eye. So what's the next issue?
Our next issue is comic characters and ham hocks.
Nice.
No, I want to be on that one. I've never requested a show before.
But I've never said I'm going to be on this one, but I am on it.
Honestly, you'll have to tune in next week to find out because I am drawing a complete blank. I have been so into this arc that I have forgotten what follows. We're hopeful in the next couple of weeks to finally get the incredible Chris Fulton, who you heard on a recent What'd You Think, to join us for Wolfpack of One.
Nice.
Which is an upcoming singular story. And I'm trying to like stall here to conjure up because I knew
we got a lot of single issues coming out. And
yes, we do. We're going to do a few and then we're going to get back into arcing again.
What we mean by that is this, by the way, we have no idea what the next issue is going to be.
Yeah,
we can just supplement anything in that we want.
Look, if you're listening to the show, just be happy they knew what today's arc was.
We are very fortunate that we had even clue one on that. And also, if things work out well, we're hopeful that we can pull this off on Christmas Day, I believe, or Christmas Eve, one of the two, whichever the Wednesday is. I'm hopeful that we will be able to compile as a holiday special the best comic I ever read, too.
Yes. Yes.
We're going to have some new guests coming on and espousing the virtues of their favorite comic book, comic story, comic series, whatever. Just really impress them to no end.
There you go. So, until next week, where we don't know what we're going to do because we're both gluttonous and slothful, thank you again, Bobby. I know we called you out of the blue and brought you in like SEAL Team 6, but really appreciate you being here. You're awesome as always. Your art's amazing. I'm looking at it now on my wall. I'm not kidding.
Is that like a weird shrine to me on your wall? Is that,
well, let me see. I've got... Yes, it is. I've got at least 3 or 4 framed Bobby Blakey.
See, you got more of that crap than I do.
I've got a first and last. I've got the Popsicle Man Green Lantern from the first time I met Bobby down to the Moon Knight. So I really do have this full run of kind of chronological Blakey art on my wall that I absolutely adore. Cole, as always, thank you. You're my single set of footprints in the sand. Can never.
What the hell is going on?
Shut up! I can't. Can I just express my feelings for Jesus? All I want to do is tell Cole how I feel about him.
Express and, feelings for Jesus? What the?
Well, that too, but Cole more so. So until next week, you know, it's up to you. You know, buy comics, don't buy comics, collect them, whatever. If you want to have a steak, have a steak.
If you do buy and collect a lot of them, just go crazy.
Or don't do it at all. It's up to you. I mean, come on.
Make sure you at least pick up some Gen 13 while you're out there.
Or not. Or Deviate. You know, just whatever.
No one should pick up Deviate.
That's
true. I'm sorry.
No
I'm going to have to.
And remember, as I leave you tonight, the key takeaway from this entire story arc is Wimpy will blow a dude for a hamburger. Say goodnight, folks.
How you doing? I'm Pierre the Pelican.
Oh, Jesus. No!